Standing Up in McKinney. This is According to Callus, episode 625, coming to you on the 23rd of April, the year of our Lord 2024, and it's Tuesday. That means it's time for a Texas Tuesday. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you may know, the state Republican Party's convention is coming up in May. There is a race to replace outgoing chairman Matt Rinaldi. I have spoken with one of the candidates today, and there is a willingness to come and do an interview. So I'm looking forward to try and make that happen next week. This week, I've got another interview that'll probably drop, if not tonight, tomorrow morning, for your listening pleasure. So before we get into the Texas Tuesday, let me just say that 620 some episodes in, and I'm kind of running out of fresh material. So I think I'm going to have to rethink a few things here. I'm going to try and keep my format in place, but I think what we're going to need to do is pivot and talk about issue-specific things, particularly as we're rolling up into that convention, as well as some news items. It's just unavoidable. And I mean, we're going into the election season full blast here as soon as we get done with the primaries. And I think I would be doing you a disservice to just spend so much time talking about McKinney and Collin County. So we're gonna look at having a little conversation having to do with specific issues as well as philosophy. I think that's going to be more helpful going towards the general election. That being said, we're going to revisit a topic. That is the idea that people need to be led. They want to be led. But they want to be led by somebody they trust and somebody that they can invest in. And therein lies the challenge, right? So when you look at a guy like Donald, it's clear that he's a captivating individual. It's clear that people want to follow him, but his underpinnings are not what I would prefer. What do I mean? I don't think he has a strong philosophical stance on much of anything, and I honestly don't know what his principles are on anything. That being said, as a populist, he kind of goes with the flow and leads the masses. That can be dangerous. Now, again, just in case you think I'm going soft, by no means am I saying he is not a good candidate. In fact, I think he's an excellent candidate, and that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is we just don't have anything better. And I think we can and should do better. And for right now, we'll take the Donald every day and twice on Sunday. And we can do that, one, because the resident is terrible. Absolutely terrible. No, nobody actually believes that people are excited about him. Not at this point. I mean, there are still people that believe that he won the election, but be that as it may, nobody's excited about that guy. I mean, even Democrats are aware that it doesn't look good. But when you're looking for the ideal candidate, when you're looking for a leader, you've got to come up with a couple of things that are clear about them, right? And of course, this is my opinion, as always, and like I have to remind you all from time to time, the show is called According to Callus for a very specific reason. It is pretty much everything according to me. I mean, look, I do my research on a lot of different things. I have general knowledge on a whole lot of things. I have specific knowledge that goes quite deep on a few things, and I read a lot. I research, I look at things, I watch videos, I listen to podcasts. I do everything I can to stay on top of general things, but also from time to time, I like to look back and think about the philosophy or the general thesis behind some of the things we're dealing with now. I mean, that is basically how I'd say matured out from the early days of straight up activism to the idea that, hey, look, there's an investment to be made. There's some political machinations that got to be dealt with, and you can't ignore them and you can't pretend they're not there. You just have to find a way to deal with them and overcome them. And I think my experience has shown personally that it's doable or at least workable. I don't know that that's appropriate for this specific episode, so it may be something we choose to revisit later. So when I say people want to be led, I need to clarify that. I think there is a certain segment of our society that likes to be in charge, but they just don't want to take responsibility. When you're a leader, you have to take responsibility. It's the same thing that, you know, we see historically. Everybody wants to be the boss until it comes to making the hard decision or facing the consequences of a bad decision. Then it's point fingers, defer, and blame your subordinates. I mean, in many ways, the military is probably not any better than that at this point. At some of the mid-level O-lines, right? It's been approved and built upon and tolerated. And that's just where we're at right now. But we can do better. So part of leading is, one, having a vision. And a vision that you can put forth to your people, to your troops, to your team, to your employees, however you want to phrase it, right? And, you know, this is my opinion. Yeah, I've listened to a bunch of other people. And, I you know, everybody's got their flavor or thing they want to do. I'm just kind of doing the basic, most entry-level version of this because I think I'm going to get to a point at the end where it's going to make sense. So bear with me for just... And if you understand what the vision is, what you're trying to accomplish, then you can get buy-in or people that care about what you're doing, whether it's the organization, the business, the army, whatever. And then when you consider the idea that if people don't care or they don't give buy-in, then they just don't perform. They don't take part. They're not effective. They're not interested. We have to get to that point. We have to get the people that are on our team to, one, get the buy-in, and two, take charge, take the lead on the specific things that they've been given. And the corollary, so, you know, I've talked about the idea where people want to be led and people want to be leaders. They just don't want to have to be responsible. And how, if you can translate a clear vision or objective, if you will, then the people that are leading know what's supposed to be accomplished. And then the other people get the buy-in, or they get the ability to actually care about what's going on, right? So all that comes together under the idea that people have to stay motivated. They have to have an interest in actually getting things done. They can do that if they're led well. They can do that if they're given leadership of a specific thing so that they can take ownership of it and they understand the vision or the end goal, if you will, then they care. And when you have people that care, they are going to be involved and they want to make the outcome worthwhile. That's all underlying motivation. So now here comes the thing, right? the thing. If people aren't motivated, if they don't stay involved, they fail. They go by the sidelines. They become ineffective. When we talk about movements come to a halt when people just don't care anymore. When they reach the end of their need or existence for that movement, they tap the brakes or get off. They're just not interested anymore. I think in many ways, I've seen this happen in, I want to be careful how I say this, but even in the pro-life movement, right? So they got the biggest thing they wanted done, which is to end Roe v. Wade, and they were ill-prepared and had no battle plan for how to deal with this at a state level. And they've lost several crucial battles at the state level. States that really, I don't think, are good with killing babies in the womb, but because they weren't ready, they weren't prepared, they weren't thinking about the outcome of what would happen if Roe v. Wade was undone, they missed it. Now, that's great for all these state-level organizations. Man, look, all the fundraising they can do, all the panic that they can cause, all the built-in angst. And it goes for both sides of this equation. Look, it's not just pro-life organizations. It's the quote-unquote pro-choice people, right? Although it should be noted that quote-unquote Planned Parenthood has pivoted now to, you know, sterilization by mutilation. You know, it's not enough to kill babies anymore. Now we're going to sterilize your children after they're born by allowing them to pretend to be something they were never born to be. And we've fixated on this idea that this is good. It gives us something to be upset about and fight over. Well, I don't see that as a net positive. So the pro-life organizations got their big win, and they were ill-prepared for the next step. They did not show up. Now, there are some, like the people that want to abolish it, period, and kudos to them. I mean, they've got a plan. They know what they want to do next. Then there are some of the other ones that, okay, well, we just want to have the restrictions to where, you know, we're going to prevent this stuff from happening, but we're not going to go after the mom. Okay, you've got a plan. We'll see how that plays out. But I think it's because they actually achieved what their goal was, and I don't think they ever expected to get it, to be quite honest with you. They didn't have a vision for beyond that. They had no goals beyond that. They had actually completely missed the opportunity. And perhaps it's not fair to beat up on them. Perhaps, you know, realistically, nobody saw that coming. But you would have thought over the last 60 years, you would have gamed it out, thought about it, determined what would happen if we were ever to be successful, and what would be the next steps. But apparently not. Similarly, the Republican Party at one point in time in Texas was the minority party, and they couldn't get their act together, and they couldn't get things done. And then, you know, about the mid-90s, they figured it out, they put together a plan of action, and they moved forward. And they met certain goals, they met certain objectives, and then they've kind of got muddled. And they figured out that if they string along their supporters and they dole out the advances that, quite frankly, we should have had 10 years ago, slowly over time, you keep these people involved. You keep them bought into what the long-term accomplishments are. You keep them animated and activated. But there's an unforeseen outcome of that. You just wear people out. They give up. They actually see you as an enemy long term. I really think that that's what we're looking at when it comes to a lot of these long-term House members, right? They're perfectly content to let Democrats run certain committees, and they're perfectly content to let pieces of legislation get shot down that would otherwise pass the Senate, by the way, because they don't have to fulfill that, because it can just give you a little bit, just a little more, tell you that all these great gains that you made over the last 2 years because of this latest triumph from the quote-unquote conservative majority, and then they're just going to keep you bought in. So let me ask you, does that motivate you? Does just keep getting the scraps, the leftovers, the bare minimum, is that enough? Now, the sad thing is they know they have us in a pickle, right? You can't not vote because you might get a Democrat. You don't have another viable option because it's Democrat. And even if they should get a primary challenger, unfortunately, the majority of them are ill-prepared for what it is they're actually running for. That's not always the case. In fact, I was quite pleased that we had a number of what I would say very good options this cycle in the primary. Unfortunately, we in Collin County were not super successful in getting anybody over the finish line, although there is still a runoff pending. But I think that it was shot over the bow, and I think people are paying attention because people are tired of being played. I don't know how else you can better explain that, but this idea that we're going to just keep giving you a little bit to keep you on the hook, to keep you in, to keep you desirous of more, right? It's almost like the state house learn their trade from the drug dealers. We're just going to give you a little sample, just a little taste. We're going to get you hooked on this, what we can do for you. And then we're just going to give you a little bit more every 2 years, just enough to keep you here, keep you involved, keep you to invest your time, your money, and your efforts to get us reelected. Because, you know, we'll just give you a little more. We'll give you that next fix. Maybe it'll be enough to get 2 more years out of you. Excuse me, but that's not what I signed up for. That's not what my expectation is. That's not what my desire is. And I got to believe the vast majority of the Republican grassroots voters out there, they're kind of tired of this game. I mean, at least the Democrats can go home at the end of the day and say, well, we don't run anything, so we don't get anything we want. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But they can cheer all the things that they would perceive as being bad getting killed in the House. And they're excited because the Republicans, even with nearly a 2/3 majority, can't get major legislation through. That even with the leadership that we get out of the lieutenant governor, the speaker somehow finds time to keep knifing us in the back. And if you think this is something new or unique, I mean, you can only just look over at the Potomac and see in D.C. that this has played out ad infinitum, right? We've had all three houses, or I should say both houses and the White House, right? We've had two of the three branches, the legislative and the executive, and we can't get anything done. And you wonder why that is. It's because the Republican Party has figured out that they don't have to actually deliver anything. They know you've got nowhere else to go. The National Party has sold us out time and time again. And we want to believe that the state party's better. And I got to tell you, under the leadership of, you know, the last couple of chairmen, I've been pleased. Rinaldi specifically. I mean, I'm sure you could pick apart different things he didn't like. And certainly he let me down on a major issue. But overall, net positive. And of course, we have a couple of decent options for his successor. But again, I wonder at the end of the day, what is our expectation out of this? The party can barely hold the party accountable. How are we going to hold our elected officials accountable? Rule 44 is in place, which means we can censure Republicans and sell us out. And then we're looking at Rule 46, which is close the primaries. Now, we've been asking for the state to close the primaries for over a decade, and yet nothing happens because it is in their best interests to not close the primaries. Why would they want to close the primaries? Why would they make it tougher on themselves to win their re-election? But fortunately, the state party has figured out that, well, we actually don't need the blessing of the state to do this. We're a private organization. People belong to our organization. And we can create our own bylaws and dictate our own terms on whether or not to get to claim to be a Republican. So we're simply going to just close the primaries. And oh, by the way, if you're a bad candidate, then you don't get to claim to be a Republican because we're going to censure you. So we have a little bit more control over who gets to run with our brand and who can represent us as Republicans. And I'm not sure that that's going to solve everything. I'm not sure that that's a panacea, but it's something. It's a step in the right direction. But sadly, it may be just another little taste, little something here to get you back on board. Now, I want to believe it's more. I'm involved with some of this stuff coming down the pike, and I want to see positive outcomes, and I want to believe that we're going to have a good outcome and we're going to improve the situation. But my faith has been shaken, if I'm honest. I mean, I've always been clear about the fact that I'm a reluctant Republican. Not that I'm a weak Republican, but I'm reluctant because they've let me down. They've let you down. They really mess things up. And I mean, the thing that we should care about the most at the national level, they can't even do. I quit throwing money away. Quit throwing money in wars that we're not declaring to support other countries that are in wars that we didn't want to be involved with in the first place. And oh, I don't know, respect the Bill of Rights. Just please. I mean, those restrictions that have existed for time immemorial since 1789, and you can't even follow those simple rules? And it was the Republicans that led us down the path, that they failed us. Now, granted, my personal congressman in Congressional District 3 here in Texas. Solid, voted the right way, did the right thing. Unfortunately, there wasn't enough of him. And here we are. But maybe, just maybe, they're going to give you a little something, something. Because clearly they're keeping up appearances over in Europe. Clearly, if they decided that the border of Ukraine is far more important than the border of the United States. Clearly, they've put forth the idea that Zelensky is more important than the American people or the Texans, right? They're taking little interest in what's actually happening in these United States as they continually flood us with people that have zero desire to be good Americans, zero desire to be Americans, period. They just want to come here for the free stuff. And we're supposed to be okay with that. We're supposed to make peace with that. And when I look and I see that we're not getting anything done, and I see my governor, the great Governor Abbott. And honestly, if we were to list all 50 governors, he'd probably be in the top five as the least bad. Top five least bad governors. How's that for a rating? Well, we listed all the bad governors, and number 50 being the worst, and number one being the least bad. Well, Greg Abbott has made the top five of the least bad governors. Now, for me, that's depressing. This is the guy that's in the big chair, right? He has a vision somewhere. He's been able to motivate people periodically through his terms in office. I would like to believe that he's a good leader. I mean, he ran the attorney general's office. He's been running the state. And he made a number of grievous errors, but has somehow worked past them. The question is he willing to do what's necessary to protect Texas? Is he willing to do what's necessary to lead Texas? His sole job as the governor is to put Texas first. The most important duty and job of the governor of the state of Texas is to put Texas concerns first. The question is he doing it? Is he leading us well? Now, granted, the other option's terrible. It's a Democrat. There wasn't another viable governor candidate. Take that for what it's worth. But if you believe the polls, if you believe the votes, he was the best option we had. And we ran with it. And while he wasn't perfect, he was in the top five least bad. Again, this is what we got to work with. And I don't care if you would consider yourself a conservative or a moderate or a Republican or a non-Republican. The expectation is that when you wear that brand, you're going to do certain things. You're going to at least placate your voters. And I don't know that we can honestly say that's been happening. But here we are. Guy's got 2 years left in office, essentially. You got to ask yourself, is this what's best for Texas? Do we have another option? Do we have a better option? A lot remains to be seen on that regard, yes. But if we're not perpetually looking at the future, if we're not casting a vision of how we're going to get to a destination or an objective, if we're not getting people to buy in or care about what we're doing, they're not going to stay motivated. They're not going to be interested. And if all you've got is, well, he's not as bad as the other guy, sooner or later, people just get tired of that. They just don't care. They want to be led, but they want to be led well. They want to be bought into what it is that's being done on their behalf. The protections that are being held up, the defense of liberty, the defense of the borders, the defense of just the common decency of what should exist in the state of Texas, that's all we need and want, and sadly, we don't seem to be able to get it. So the long-term question is, what do we do to fix this? How do we recruit and maintain people that stay motivated? People that get geared up trained up to take the next level up, to lead us well, to protect the liberties, to defend the borders, to stand by and hold the line for we Texians. So when we talk about Texas, and we talk about leadership, we also have to lead by example. This goes directly back to the previous thing, right? You have to have a culture of independence. And if you don't have people that are able and willing to look out for themselves and to lead by example by taking care of themselves, how do you expect anybody to be able to grow in that? Instead, we've just shuttled our children off to government indoctrination camps and then act surprised when they come out as good little Democrats. I'm far less worried about 51% of the students in school not looking like me or having English as a second language than I am that they're in the government indoctrination camp that's going to train them up to essentially hate me, hate Texas, and hate everything the United States stands for, even though, quote unquote, it was never intended to be that way. But that is the legitimate outcome that we get a lot out of a lot of these schools and school districts. And yet we tolerate it. And we throw more money at it and we pretend that all is well and that all teachers are heroes. And yet this is what we get. We got to start somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. The closest thing to you, where you're at, is your local school, your local school district, your local city, your local city council. This is where you can be heard. This is where you can be involved. Now, you have to be polite. You have to follow the rules. You have to learn to be effective, but you can lead by example. And at the end of the day, that's what Texas needs. It needs a whole lot of people that know how to lead, that have a vision for where Texas can and should be going, that care about those around them and care about their goal and their objectives, and will stay motivated no matter what happens. And with that, this has been According to Callus, and I will see you on the other side.